Send a movie idea.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Have you got a name for your autobiography?
No. Joel with it. Rockin' Joel. It's all Grover now.
It's all Grover now.
They think it's all Grover.
They think it's all Grover. It's a shame your surname isn't Grover.
If I ever won the Tour de France, then Biker Grove would be, it would be it.
And when are you doing that?
When am I winning the Tour de France? Yeah. 2026, mate.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I'm just going to get really into drugs. Doping. Yeah.
Nice.
I wonder how many drugs I would have to take
seven
to be able to compete with seven drugs.
Yeah, seven.
Immediately before racing.
Yeah.
When I was at secondary school, before, I don't know if I told this story before, but before a cross country race, this is
your doping story.
Yeah, this will teach you the dangers of doping, right? So listen up and listen hard. And you know, this is going to be as revealing of the sort of the doping scandal as Lance Armstrong's interview on Oprah. And I want you to really push me on this, okay?
Am I Oprah?
You're Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, lovely.
And I am Joel Grove, former doping athlete.
Great.
So I was pretty good at cross country at school. Not amazing, but we used to do house cross country every year where everyone in the year, all 140 or whatever it was, would run and you'd get ranked, you know. And I'd normally sort of scrape top 20 people, which I was pretty pleased with. That's all right, right?
Yeah.
That's a decent percentile. Anyway, 1 year I thought, I need to give myself the edge. So before school at the corner shop, I bought those Lucozade energy tablets.
Yeah.
And I had all 16 of them before.
No.
Oh, mate. I was so quick off the start line. And then I vomited at the first corner for about 20 minutes.
And where did you place?
Didn't finish, mate. DNF. And basically, I think that teaches us a lot about doping. Don't do it. Run an honest race. And it keeps me awake at night. I didn't. Who knows where I could have come? I was in my prime at that point. I was just tempted. Mm. I went in, you know, the guy behind the counter was waving him at me.
Yeah, that's what he does.
He saw my gym bag, he said, got another one in here.
What is the point of those? Are you supposed to take a couple of those before sports?
Well, a couple of them, they're just energy, like they're just like hard, just like a solid bit of glucose, isn't it? So really, it is energy because it's sugar. But I thought, well, if one or two will slightly improve your performance,
you'll be 16 times better.
Exactly. Mm. I thought, why is no idiot doing this? all the time. That's the logic I apply to most things.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory. It's the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here at the Dream Factory are very simple. We've got them actually printed up on the wall.
Yeah.
No heavy petting, no bombing. And we can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where it'll be put forward for unpopular podcast at the 2025 Audio Oscars. I'm Joel, a man who puts the ass in asinine. And across from me is John Harris, a man who until last week believed the mayor of Harrogate was a nice and spicy knick-knack.
I don't get it.
It doesn't really mean anything.
Oh.
You know how like a dog in South America will occasionally be the mayor of the town? I just thought, wouldn't it be funny if a crisp was the mayor of a town in the north?
I get it now.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying that like someone went, yeah, the mayor of Harrogate. And I was like, yeah, I'll have a pack. Yeah, sure.
That sounds like drug chat. I've been to Harrogate. It's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't have any knickknacks there. I don't know what my thinking was there. You know, I wrote this 10 seconds ago. I was basically writing it as I was saying it.
I don't.
What you just heard was basically beat poetry.
I don't want to dwell on this too long because it's not our story to share. Mm-hmm. But Joel and I have a friend who recently had an amazing win, an amazing victory.
Yep.
He bought a pack of 6 knickknacks. Seven packs are in there, guys.
Seven. Unbelievable. Seven. Do you reckon someone at the factory thought, I want to give someone a great day?
Yeah.
Would you do that sort of thing?
If I worked in a factory?
Yeah.
Nah, stickler for the rules, mate.
Strictly 6 every time.
Yeah.
Same number of crisps in each bag.
Yeah.
The best thing on telly is that show where Greg from MasterChef goes to big factories. You ever watched it?
No, I thought you were going to say where Greg from MasterChef counts crisps in packets writes angry letters.
Essentially, that's this programme.
Oh, amazing.
But nothing angry about it. Oh. He fucking loves it, mate. He loves factories. And every time he sees something in a big quantity, he just laughs. So, like, I always accidentally find myself watching it for, like, 10 minutes. And so he was at a fish finger thing the other day, and he goes, he's watching how fish fingers get made, bird's eye fish fingers. And he turns to the bloke in the cold store, and he's like, so how many fish fingers in it? And the bloke goes, about 150,000. He just goes, 150,000? Like, well, how many fish fingers do you think there are in a factory that makes fish fingers? Always does it. There's one where he's, like, at a sweet factory, and they're making, I don't know if it's, like, flumps or something. And he's like, how many flumps? And the bloke's like, I don't know, we make about 500,000 flumps. And he just, honestly, he has the biggest grin, and he just laughs at the idea of 500,000 flumps. It's the most beautiful, innocent thing you've ever seen. He honestly just goes, 150,000 fish fingers. And the bloke's like, yeah, it's just my job.
Do you think it's just the number that's
I think
exciting?
He tries just to imagine them, and he can't. Like, his brain can't. Because he's probably only ever had maybe, like, 4 fish fingers at a time.
But, like, do you think if he did a documentary where, like, he was visiting a hospital and they were like, so how many people do you admit into this hospital every year? 50,000. And he's like,
he just loves big numbers.
He can't get his head around numbers.
I would watch Greg going around seeing the big stuff.
How many bees in this hive?
He loves it. He just loves it.
Should we do some
anything?
Films?
Oh, any amount of anything over 100 will make Greg from Marshall. I want to say, what's his surname?
Wallace.
Oh yeah, yeah.
First film, Greg Wallace and Gromit.
That is great.
Thank you.
Oh, that is really good.
This one's from Matilda.
Oh, cheers.
The Bourne Ultimatumness, and they say two struggling movie franchises. David Brent hands.
I love someone did that in a meeting with me earlier.
Did they?
I just went, it's really hard.
For the record, that's where you have your two hands apart and then you make them join as if to say synergy.
And actually, you need to do this with your face as well.
Like a shit eating, not grin, just no, a shit eating face.
Yeah, a face of a man eating shit. Yeah, someone actually did that in a meeting. I just couldn't hold it in. Imagine people actually doing that in real life without being aware. Anyway, maybe it's like a power play from him.
Make you laugh.
Yeah, and then
you look like an idiot.
Cane me or something.
And deadly serious. Yeah. I'm deadly serious about this synergy. Yeah. Why are you laughing?
Anyway.
Tumness.
The Bourne Ultimatumness.
The Bourne Ultimatumness.
So it's just a spy form.
In Narnia.
The Fawn Ultimatum. Could have also
there
gone
we
with.
Go.
That way we can get the trilogy out pretty easy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Does
a spy in Narnia. There are spies everywhere.
Does Matt Damon wake up in Narnia?
With hooves. No, Matt Damon wakes up with hooves in the real world.
Oh, yeah. I like this.
Yeah. And they're like, and he doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
And he has to find out his real identity, which obviously is half fawn. And it's like a government experiment.
Yeah,
they were trying
to
create a super army, and he was the first experiment, and it went wrong, and he like galloped his way out of the testing lab and woke up on a boat. That's what happens in the film, isn't it?
Yeah.
He doesn't know who he is.
Great. And because I assume big goat legs are more powerful and
they're very powerful
for kicking
legs.
And stuff.
Yeah. And he can hide out on like the side of mountains and things.
It's weird that in modern
produces a delicious cheese.
Absolutely.
So he can eat that while he's on the run.
Because the interesting thing is, in a world where we have like drones and guns and stuff, the military are thinking we need more kicking power. That's a secret. That's the secret to our military success.
They didn't want to start with the big animals.
So you think the long started. Play is like Rhino Men?
Yeah, of course it is. You know exactly what I'm thinking. Get out of my head. Rhino Men. An army of rhinos. It's so good. Isn't it? Carried to the battle zone by drones. Which, what would a Rhino Man be? A man with a horn?
It's
difficult.
I'm imagining every element of it is still a rhino apart from the face, which is human
but it's still got
and
the
intelligent.
Horn.
Yeah, well, obviously, without the horn, it's useless.
It's just a big...
Just a big...
Big guy.
It's a hippo.
Without a horn, it's a hippo.
That's what.
And you're saying a hippo is useless, mate. Deadliest animal on the planet.
Yeah.
But if a human was a hippo, would it have the same sort of jaw? Or would it just be a little mouth?
It's a normal human
massive
in every
jaw.
Way. It's a massive jaw.
Terrifying. Terrifying. White flag being waved straight away. That's the beauty of these animals. They very rarely have to go into conflict because they're the stuff of nightmares.
Oh, it's mostly to terrify the opponent.
Intimidation, yeah. They're the stuff of absolute nightmares. Like, if you walked a little hippo with a human face into, like, a questioning facility, they'd be like, I'm going to tell you anything. Don't let that thing anywhere near me. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
If one came in right now, and I'll tell you now, I bet it does at the end of the show, but imagine now if one came in... Don't throw your mind forward, because who knows what human-creature combo we'll throw to later in the show. But imagine if one came in, if a hippo with a human face came in right now, and there was a man in uniform leading it, and he said, I want to ask you some questions. You'd be like, ask me anything, wouldn't you? You wouldn't say, I'm not speaking, because then it would growl at you.
Yeah, probably, yes.
Well,
terrifying.
I think that's the answer to your question, Matilda. Was it a question?
And then, so, he finds out about the military thing, and he frees all the hybrids.
Yeah.
And they go...
Isn't this an episode of The Mighty Boosh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are the mutant race. Don't look at my mouth. Don't look at my face. It's probably not mouth. That would make no sense.
It's probably mullet.
Yeah. No. But here's where we bring it back.
Oh, good.
Matt Damon also discovers the wardrobe. And so...
Oh, great.
The mutants aren't welcome on our Earth because we're judgmental, horrible, horrible people, right?
Speak for yourself.
Well, we are. But in Narnia, they're accepted in this utopia that is Narnia.
Yeah, because they... Oh, so it's utopia Narnia.
Yeah.
We haven't got the...
Not dystopia Narnia.
Snow Queen?
No, she's
Ice
gone.
Queen.
Long gone.
Turkish Delight, is that still a thing?
Turkish Delight's a thing.
Weirdly, one of the... Isn't it weird, right? No one's ever really spoken about this. How...
You're going to break something wide open right now.
How about this? A little hot take. There are no major crossovers in culture between the world as we know it and Narnia. Apart from Turkish Delight. Readily available.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That is weird.
I think so.
It's so handy that the thing Edmund can be corrupted by is somehow readily available in Narnia. Isn't that weird?
I think
imagine if it was like Mars Bar. You think they've popped out to get Turkish Delight.
Yeah.
You think Mr. Tumnus... No, who would be getting it? It'd be one of the little help, like terrifying helper of the Queen.
One of the terrifying... He popped to your corner shop... Got some Lucozade tablets.
Anyway, yeah. Turkish Delight. How's that in Narnia? So strange.
Where do you sit on Turkish Delight?
I eat it.
Really comfy.
I absolutely love Turkish Delight. I think it's incredible.
Interesting.
Massively, massively underrated treat. Not in Turkey. It's not. They love it.
So it's like a rose flavoured.
Mate, one of them's
gum.
Rose. One of them's lemon.
Oh, there's...
These days, though, mate, I tell you. Have you seen these little places that are popping up in stations?
What, Turkish Delight pop-ups?
No, but more and more, there's more a lot more prevalent in shopping centres and train stations. I'm thinking Westfield and Liverpool Street.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a shop on the open plan bit. It's not a fixed shop. Mate, they've got so many flavours of Turkish Delight. I'm talking about 15 to 20 flavours of Turkish Delight.
They also do lots of like little
lots
sweet
of dry
pastries.
Fruit.
Sweet pastries.
A couple
well,
of
right?
sweet pastries. That's not really what they deal in. You're probably thinking of somewhere else. You're thinking of Greggs.
Sorry.
You're thinking of Greggs.
And they have loads, Greg's, right?
Yeah, it's Greg's. They have loads of... they probably just put Turkish Delight in a bake. There's nothing Greg's won't put in a bake.
No.
There's no meal Greg's won't bake.
That's a plot line,
isn't
it?
That's just... No, because it's their slogan.
Human.
They're
cooking humans.
They're cooking Greg's.
Yeah.
They're cooking
People
Greg
cook
Wallace
Greg.
From MasterChef.
How many pasties am I going to fill?
Great. Anyway, what's happening? Are we still on the same film? Yeah. Bloody hell.
Born
that's got legs.
Tumnus.
Goat's legs. That's got goat's legs. That's had... Bloody hell. Thanks a lot. We got some mileage out of that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Do you want one from me?
Yes.
Finding Grebo.
Who's Grebo?
I didn't know what a Grebo was. This has been submitted by Emma. It's like Finding Nemo, but about Grebos. The whole time I'm reading this, I'm thinking, have you invented a thing? I thought about Greedo from Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's not that guy.
Oh.
That'd be cool.
Finding Greedo.
Finding Greedo would be great.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about. And we'll never talk about that ever again. No. But that would have been really good. And probably sort of 5 or 10. Just really good stuff.
Yeah.
I can sort of see you riffing on it and me kind of saying something quite quick back.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, it would have been really good. But anyway, we're doing Finding Greedo. So it's a little bit of Googling, mate.
Yeah.
To sort of find out the origin of the Greedo. It's a word that's been in popular culture minimum 15 years.
Wow.
15 years people have been chatting about Greedos. No one's ever said it near me or around me. I've never even heard it in the street. Did you want to hear a...
If you're a fellow Grebo denier like me, I'm on tenterhooks.
Right. I've got quite a heartbreaking Urban Dictionary entry for you here from August 21st, 2004. A Grebo is a person who listens to punk, rock, metal music and doesn't follow fashion trends. They don't usually class themselves as being a Grebo, but are assigned that title by trendy/rudes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's a rude? A rude boy.
Yeah.
What's a trendy?
You can be a trendy.
People used to say townie.
Yeah, yeah.
And I never
yeah.
really knew what that was. Someone from a town?
Yeah.
What? But who?
Townie.
Who's calling them a townie? Village folk.
Out of townies.
People that live in the local hamlet.
Yeah, yeah. Hamleters.
Some of them may look quite threatening, but generally they're all around nice people, okay. And they resist starting fights or arguments with people who do follow trends. However, if you were to ask one of them if they had anything against trendies or rude boys, their answer would seldom be no. Almost all Grebos have some kind of disliking towards trendies, mainly because they make their lives hell. Abuse is held at them as they walk down the street, and they frequently get the crap beaten out of them for no reason other than the fact they are different. Grebos also seem to be fairly intelligent people. This is like some sort of David Attenborough observation of a different creature. If not in one way, they are bound to be intelligent in another. This may contribute to why Grebos rarely start fights with trendies and rudes, because they are intelligent enough to know that it won't solve anything. Grebos are alternative people who just want to be treated fairly.
And now we see the rude.
In its natural habitat, a Grebo, avoiding conflict with a townie.
A Grebo just sounds like a sweet, nerdy metaller.
It's just like a goth.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, we're straying into difficult territory there. You're telling me Robert Smith's not a Grebo?
Yeah. No, he's a trendy.
He's a dark card. What are you?
I'm a rude.
You're such a rude. What's the most rude behaviour you've ever done?
Oh, I don't know.
Have you ever worn a cap, baseball cap backwards?
No, nah, not for too long. Maybe in front of a mirror before I left the house.
And just shook your head and burnt the cap. Put your polo net back on.
Mm.
Thanks for asking me, John. What's the most rude behaviour I've done? I once did buy a Nike TN Air cap, but I couldn't wear it with any conviction.
What's a Nike TN Air cap?
If you don't know, mate, how can you call yourself a rude?
What's
a trendy?
Just a guy who dresses well. Or...
Yeah, we're not that, are we?
Nah, we don't dress well. We dress fine.
We Grebos.
No.
A couple of Grebos.
I don't mind. Look, I think we should reclaim Grebos like people reclaim like nerds.
Step forward. Are you? Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Proud to be
Grebo. We're reclaiming Grebos.
Grebo and proud.
Grebo for life.
Honestly, this word didn't make sense to me, and now I've said it so many times, it's stopped making sense again.
Now it's your whole reason for being.
Grebo.
So Grebo's gone missing.
Yeah.
I imagine it's been chased out of town by a trendy and a rude.
No, I think... So the Grebo goes missing, and the trendy and the rude
They feel bad about what they've done.
They realise that they're kind of like jibing, and they thought it was tongue in cheek and a little bit fun.
I didn't realise how much it was hurting the sensitive Grebo.
Exactly. The trendy and the rude, they're mean to each other, but it's in a kind of fun way.
A Grebo sounds like a fictional Edward Lear creature, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. And so the Grebo's gone back to his hole. He's gone missing. And our trendy and our rude crews.
Yeah.
Go hunting for finding Grebo.
They're finding Grebo.
Yeah. And at one point, the Grebo is in a dentist's fish tank.
And at the end, they all go to a Limp Bizkit gig. And everyone's like, there's something for everyone in this music. And they love it.
Fred Durst is so trendy. And rude.
Because he's got his cap on backwards. And he's rapping, which the rudes love. And he's wearing big shorts, which is the trendies love. And the Grebos love the new metal feel. And they just hug. And then they start kissing and taking each other's clothes off.
Oh.
Anyway, have you got another film for me, John?
Yeah, what about this one from Rachel? Forrest Gump, a man is caught out whilst hiking.
Oh, yes, I have a poo in the woods.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh.
What about this one from Daryl? Daryl tweeted us saying, an inverse version of The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Which initially is a man growing old, right? So I saw this tweet.
So I pressed him on it,
yeah.
And he responded with, so in the universe this film takes place, everyone ages the way Benjamin Button did in Benjamin Button, but in this film, Benjamin Button ages the way we do, so still the aging is the opposite way to everyone else.
Okay, there's a lot to process here. Have you seen Benjamin Button?
No.
Does he meet someone in the middle? Like a romantic partner?
Probably.
Okay, and hang on, explain, so he's born old.
Yeah.
But small.
Yeah, I'd never really got that bit.
I don't, yeah.
Was he found in a hedge or something?
What?
Well, you can't give birth to an old man.
Can't you?
You'd die.
Yeah.
How small does the old man have to be?
That's what I'm wondering.
How small do you have to be?
What's the biggest you can give birth to? My great-granddad was a stone when he was born.
Shut the front door.
Mm.
That's
but
a lot, isn't
it? You turn into a human eventually.
I want that story.
I know, he was a stone heavy. Like I was 10 pounds.
Yeah.
We're big lads, mate.
Yeah.
The Groves are big lads. They love it.
That's
they come
12
out pretty much fully
pounds,
formed.
Isn't it?
A stone, yeah.
You're flipping out.
Were you heavier?
No,
just generally the listener. I'd love to know if there's any heavier ones out there. I mean, if you're heavier than that, you're basically walking out.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Your great grandmother could have given birth to Benjamin Button.
Yeah, she could.
Apologies to the family. That feels mean.
Can you write them a card? Yeah. I'm really, on a podcast you've never heard, I insinuated that your great grandmother had the womb capacity for an old man. Well, I mean, she did. Oh, horrible. Really horrible. Didn't even ever meet the woman.
Sorry. But,
right. What I don't understand about it is he's an old man becoming a baby. Their babies becoming old, but reverse, it doesn't really matter. Surely you meet someone, what, about 35? And they fall in love.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's essentially what you're getting to. So there's a point where you're a paedophile.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
What happens then?
I don't know how they deal with that in the film. Yeah. Or book. I think it's based on a famous old book.
Yeah,
it?
It's a short story by old
Dickens.
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
No, that one.
The Great Gatsby guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. There's a point where this becomes criminal.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we deal with that. Regardless of who's going which way.
We don't deal with it.
No,
we
that's a good point. That.
Have you got another one?
This one comes from Alice. She wants us to know how meta a Deadpool sequel we can physically make.
I don't. What do you mean?
Well, you know, like his whole thing.
He would film it.
Maybe. That's an idea.
He would have a camcorder. And then you see him editing it. It'd be so rubbish. If it went one step more meta than it currently is, he would be in an editing suite, pointing at himself editing stuff. And then on the screen would be the shot of them in the editing suite. And then it'd be like, he'd look around at the camera, and then a shot of that would be on the screen in the editing suite, and it would never end, never end. And people would demand a refund from the front desk. They'd say, what have Marvel done? Marvel have got so powerful now that they think this passes as a movie going experience. And then you turn around and Deadpool sat next to you in the cinema and he's going, what's this shit?
And you yeah.
And then you look up and that's on the screen. And you're on, and then you just start trying to claw your own eyes out because you just can't take it anymore. can't take it anymore. And then he's just swirling around your head, swirling around your head. And it's like an experiential secret cinema thing where you don't even know anymore. Even when you leave the screen, you're like, am I still in the fucking film? You don't know anymore. That's how meta it could get.
And you look in the mirror and Deadpool looks back at you.
And then you're solving crime. You're fighting crime. You're like, what's happened? Anyway, that's probably about it.
Would watch.
Yeah, no. Would you experience that? Anyway, yeah, 10 out of 10. Would watch with popcorn. Should we do our film ideas?
Yeah, go on then.
I've got E.T. Teenager. E.T.'s gone back to his home planet.
Yeah.
Come back years later, a moody teenager.
He's
still got the hoodie, obviously.
Well, yeah.
He can't believe his luck. But he's gone around being a yob and happy slapping.
Oh. Yeah,
with his big glowy finger.
Oh, he's a 90s teenager.
The way he happy slaps is that he holds his finger out, so it's sort of in the corner of your eye. What's that glow? You go, bang! And he slaps you. Yeah.
Or he comes from behind you, does the finger to one side, you look that way.
Oh, he gets you with the other. Do the fingers on both do it? Does he have a point? He's pointing guns?
I don't know.
Do both fingers glow on each cheek?
There's a sequence.
Have we got Spielberg's number?
There's a Western Showdown sequence we can do with that.
Oh, that's so good. He likes sitting on the back of the bus and playing music out of his phone.
And it's really horrible alien music that we don't really understand. To us, it sounds like
dubstep. It's dubstep. Yeah. And so E.T.'s a teenager and he goes on the lash with the kids from the first film.
Does E.T. age at a different rate to us? Is it modern day?
Yeah, it's modern now.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And he's happy slapping. Really bad.
Because you know how long it takes to beam back stuff to other planets? He's only just been hit with early 2000 teenage antics.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, so he loves Limp Bizkit.
And he is in Finding Grebo. He makes a cameo in Finding Grebo, a gig.
Finding Grebo is the sequel to E Teenager, where E.T. goes back to his home planet.
Yep. There you go. God, the amount of planning we put into these episodes, it is phenomenal. We've got one of those like crime scene boards up on the wall. All the strings tie in.
I'm sorry to interrupt a great moment that we're having right now, Joel. I've just realised the Deadpool sequel you just described ends with the conversation we just had.
Whoa.
That's how meta it goes.
Don't like it, mate.
And then Deadpool walks in and shoots us in the head or something.
I'd welcome it at that point. It'd be too much.
You'd be watching the film in the cinema. Yeah. Anyway, how do they film us discussing this?
What's your one?
This one is Rampage Jackson. The serum or whatever they use to make animals huge in the movie Rampage is used on MMA fighter Rampage Jackson. The Rock is said to take him down.
How do you know so much about MMA?
I don't know a lot. I just know that there's a guy called Rampage Jackson. And at university...
Is that his birth name?
Yeah. And in university, I didn't get into MMA because it's not for me, right? But I did really get into The Ultimate Fighter, which is like the Love Island of MMA. Do you know what? Like they're training up these wannabe fighters, and Rampage Jackson, a professional MMA fighter, is one of the like coaches on it. So I know him from that. And at one point, one of his guys loses a match, and it's a famous moment where he gets angry and he opens the door and he kicks it, and his foot goes straight through it. And I think I don't know whether the whole thing was like planned, but the point where he kicked the door and his foot went through, he was like, I'm going to make some great TV. And he just starts tearing this door to pieces and throwing it around. It's amazing.
Well, The Rock could definitely stop him.
Not when he's got the growth serum. He's the size of buildings now.
Yeah, but he's The Rock.
He does the
We've just seen that The Rock's not afraid of buildings in the film.
Skyscraper.
Building. Oh, yeah.
There's like, you know, like Comic-Con, there's just a Rock Con.
That'd be great.
He comes out and he's like, and 2020, I will be releasing the film Tall Building.
More 10 sequels.
How many floors? Right, so the film ends with The Rock doing the people's elbow from the top of a building.
Amazing, straight through, and he splits in, and Rampage Jackson splits in half down the middle.
Yes, that.
Cool. That brings us to the end of the show, John. What's the winner this week?
Oh, good question. We never do this.
Finding
Forrest
Grebo?
Forrest Dump.
It got the time it deserves, I think. Anyway, we know it's the end of the show because there is a knock, knock, knock at the studio door. And coming into the studio, it's a giant hippo with a human face, Joe. Yeah.
He's got some questions to ask. Joel, you told me you've got an excellent cinema-based story.
Well, here's the thing. It's my birthday in 2 days on the day of release of this.
Yeah.
So it got me thinking about my birthday. It's weird how I make those connections in my brain.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say, if anyone's listening to this, just, you know, just send me some praise on my birthday. Really big me up. You know, just sort of, I would say list maybe sort of your top 50 things about me, maybe in a tweet thread. Just really, just chat about how great I am. Maybe share a gift that best sums up your feeling towards me.
Yeah.
Just really go all out and celebrate my birthday.
Gift-based praise.
Anything you've got, really. You know, if you want to send gifts.
Gifts or gifts?
I would like both, if possible. I'd like one of those, do you remember when they were really popular, those memory card photo frames?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd like one of those loaded with gifts. Do you remember memory card photo frames?
Yeah.
What? I mean, yeah. That was an absolute empire built on sand, whoever was creating those. Anyway, this podcast is brought to you by memory card photo frames.
The concept.
So it got me thinking about a birthday trip I had to the cinema many moons ago. I haven't thought about it in a long time. I think it's the source of all of my cinema-going anxiety. Now, I'm sure you'll agree, John, I'm a pretty chilled-out guy most of the time. Pretty laid back. Don't really worry about stuff.
Yeah.
I breeze on by. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the sort of guy, like, if I step in a puddle, I don't care. I won't think about it. Even if I got wet up to, say, the upper shin, wouldn't worry about it.
You're mostly wet to the upper shin when I see you anyway.
That's because I'm just stepping in puddles without a care in the world. My head's in the cloud, my foot's in the puddle.
Yeah,
that's what they say about me.
They do.
But when it comes to the cinema, I get really anxious. I worry about everything. I have to be there very early. Yep. I have to be very early. Mm. I have to be there when it's still a black screen.
You're talking my language. But that's just because I'm always like this.
You're like this about everything. Yeah. But I think in the Venn diagram of us, which is probably why I do this podcast, the cinema is the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm very anxious. I'm always there super early. I don't like people like taking their shoes off or being that near to me. I hate people talking, being on their phones. All of like the standard stuff really grinds my gears. But yeah. I'm quite ritualistic about going to the cinema and where I like to sit and the food I like to get and all of that stuff. Very ritualistic, which I would never apply to any other part of my life. You know, I haven't got like a particular seat on a train or in the house or anything like that. But cinema, I do. Anyway, no one in my family's like that. No one in my family thinks this way about things at all. They think it's perfectly acceptable to chat through stuff and generally, you know, be bad at this sort of thing. It came to a head, I think, when I was about 10. I think it was my birthday, or maybe it was Christmas. Depends on the release of this film. Anyway, went to see Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it would have been Christmas, but that's fine.
Okay, but it's a similar celebration of me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Joel's.
Happy birthday, Joel's. Went to the cinema and went to see Lord of the Rings. My mum's like, don't worry about the tickets, don't worry about it. Like, the tickets are booked, they've been booked so far in advance, we're so excited to see Lord of the Rings. Mum thinks, this is no big film, like no one cares about Lord of the Rings. So we get there, she hasn't booked the tickets, so she's going to buy them. We're in the front row, mate.
Don't lie about that.
We're not even all sat together.
Oh, no.
We're in the front row. You're craning your neck.
For sure.
You're going to walk out with a crick in your neck.
Yeah.
You ever had a crick in your neck, mate?
No.
You never sat in the front row? Anyway, so the tickets haven't been booked, so we're in the front row, Lord of the Rings.
Not even together.
An awful time. Not even together. But I'm sat next to my mum. And I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I wish we'd got there 5 minutes later. I wouldn't be sat next to her for the next thing that happened. Her phone starts ringing. Right?
Yeah.
And my mum tries to lie that it's her phone. And she just plays innocent. Like, oh no, it's not my phone. It couldn't be my phone. Even though it's pitch black and there is a light emitting and shining from her handbag. And it happens maybe 3 times. Someone's clearly trying to get hold of her. And every time she's like, whoa, someone's got their phone on. What's going on here? And it's just glowing and glowing and glowing. I feel really awkward. Everyone in the cinema is like, what's going on? You know, this is like opening day of Lord of the Rings. And then the 4th time, because she's had enough of everyone moaning, she just answers it.
Fuck.
Answers the phone. And that and the way I felt then, I think is directly responsible for how I've behaved in the cinema ever since.
Not happy with that.
How does that make you feel? On edge?
Awful.
Yeah. I haven't spoken to my mum since.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.